which says all scripture is God-breathed or breathed into existence, inspired by God himself, and is, what's that say? Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, the people of God, may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So if the Bible says that all scripture is inspired and breathed into existence by God, that means even a list of names are breathed into existence by God and is useful to our life. It's profitable for doctrine, for something we can learn, for reproof, for correction, or for instruction in righteousness. And it's going to be this last one that we're going to look at, instruction, from this list of names. Even from them, we can get some instruction and guidance on what God has to say to us in his word this morning. Because you matter to the Master, and you matter to Jesus. And together we want to discover two truths from the scripture that we can apply to our life this morning. And the first is this, as we look at this chapter together, that no one is insignificant to the Lord. As we read down over these list of names, over 30 of them in these two sections, they all were known by Paul. It is likely that Paul knew who most all these people were, but more importantly, the Lord knew who they were, because he inspired Paul to write them down as they gave their greetings and said, greet so-and-so and greet this person. And they all were mentioned by name because the Lord knew them. And so that means that God knows your name, friends. You are not insignificant to him. You are not a number. And just think of that. The creator of the universe, who spoke everything into existence, knows your name. In the midst of everything, in the midst of all the billions of people in the world, God knows you. And he knows your name, and not only knows you, he calls you by your name. And even though our names will never be in Scripture, your name will never be in Scripture, you will probably not be recognized or remembered by the world. Your name and my name may not be legendary, but you know what? It's known by God. Isn't that more important? That's what matters. It's significant. You are significant to him. God knows your name, and you are important. Let's go to a couple scriptures, and I'm going to give you some time. I was asked to slow down on the scripture refers so people have time to get there. So we're first going to the book of Isaiah chapter 40. Give you time to get there. Chapter 40, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Everybody there? I hear those pages turn. It's good. And Isaiah says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Talking about the stars. And he brings out every starry host one by one, and he calls them by name. Now think of all the billions and billions of stars and all the billions of galaxies out there. And the Lord has named every single one of those. And you say, okay, so he knows the stars. Well, let's take a little bit more personal. Go back to chapter 43, same book. Chapter 43, verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, he who formed you, Bob, he who formed you, Carolyn, he who formed you, Dane, he who formed you, Sandy, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by what? Name. You are mine. God gave you and knows you by your name. And going into the New Testament, John chapter 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fifth book of the New Testament. Going into the book of John, chapter 10, verse 3. Jesus says this. The watchman opens a gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. That he has given you, he calls you by your name. He knows you personally. Have you ever been frustrated where you call an office or something and you get this recording. And then press this button for this button, this to go here, this to go here. And I said, I just want to talk to a person. Isn't that frustrating? Yeah. Or you're, someone calls, we get telemarketers call the house. And I'll answer, and I don't answer much anymore because if they're telemarketer, I don't answer. But I've had, is Reich's Church there? Or is Miss Parsonage there? Don't you know when people don't know your name? And whenever someone actually calls you by your name, doesn't that make you feel good? Hey, they value me. They know me. They care about me. Well, God knows your name. You matter to him. And that's what this list of names, part of it tells us. Every single person here, we may not know them or what they did, but God did. And he recorded their names for us. The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. But God knows your sin, but calls you by your name. Isn't that beautiful? He knows our name. Satan may actually call us by our sin of what we did, but God knows our sin, but calls our name because he loves us in his grace. He also, you matter to God, and you're not insignificant to him because he sees your faithfulness. If you look with me back in Romans chapter 16, and let's just look down over this list for a minute. Paul says, I commend our sister Phoebe, a servant to the church. Then he says in verse 6, greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Then he says, greet verse 8, greet Ephemus, who I love in the Lord. Verse 9, greet Urbanus, our fellow worker. And on and on, and it's listed what each of these people did and how God took notice of their acts of faithfulness. Many of them, it was not recorded anywhere, it was not public knowledge, but they faithfully served God and did it not for glory for themselves, but for the faithfulness to the Lord. And I know there's many of you that serve and do things to the Lord in the church here behind the scenes, not for glory, not for recognition, but you know what? The Lord sees that. And he takes note of that, and it doesn't go unnoticed to him. And he blesses that. He sees our faithfulness and what is done in his name to his glory. And he takes note of it. And someday when we stand before him, we will be rewarded for that, which takes us to the next. He rewards your service. And every one of these people were commended for what they did and how they either helped Paul or what they did for the Lord. Verse 12 says, greet my dear friend Paris, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord, and just many other, what they did, but they were faithful, their service was rewarded. In Matthew, turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew, first book of the New Testament, chapter 25, Jesus telling a story about what will happen, a parable about what will happen in the future when we stand before him. And in verse 31, is everybody there? Jesus speaking says this, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heaven, heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And the Lord righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry, or feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? When did we ever see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we ever see you sick in prison and go out to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell the truth, whatever you did for the least of these brothers of mine, you did it to me. And he said, you will be rewarded and come and enjoy my glory. And those rewards that we have to cast back at his feet. So all those works of service that you do for the Lord, no one else may notice or you think no one cares. God does notice, and he does care. And someday, everything done in his name for his glory will be rewarded. you're not insignificant. You matter deeply to the Lord. This chapter of this list of names teaches us that. Also, we can learn that he is guiding your steps, or he guides our steps. Let's go back to Romans chapter 16. And I want to focus in on verse 13 for a minute. As Paul talking about these different names, he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been like a mother to me too." Chosen in the Lord, Rufus. Now, I read over that's Rufus. Who is this Rufus? We don't really know, but there is one other scripture, a reference to a Rufus in the Bible. And you can write this verse down. It's in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. In Mark chapter 15, verse 21, we read about a man from Cyrene who happened to be in Jerusalem for Passover, and the day Jesus was crucified. And his name was Simon. And he was conscripted by the Roman army to carry the cross for Jesus. It says he had a son named Rufus. It said later on in the book of Acts, there were men from Cyrene, believed that Simon was one of them who carried the cross for Christ, who came to the city of Antioch. And at the city of Antioch, they preached, and a church was established there. And from that church, Paul was sent out as the first missionary. But it's believed that this Rufus could be the son of the man who carried the cross for Christ. And it says that he was chosen in the Lord. And if that's the case, it shows how God guided and directed his life to that point. And God guides and directs your life and mine as well. In Psalm 119, which is right smack in the middle of the Bible, book of Psalms in the middle, Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the longest book, a chapter that is devoted to the Word of God and its beauty in our life. Psalm 119, verse 133. Give you time. It says, "Direct my footsteps according to your word. Let no sin rule over me." That God directs us according to his word. And turn back one book to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 24. That direction comes by the word of God, but it directs us on our life. Chapter 20, verse 24. Says, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his way?" And that God was directing Rufus's life, God is direct our life, and we can trust in him in that. And we also discover from that you're not insignificant because he knows your need. If we go back to chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Paul said this chapter, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria." And it was believed that Phoebe was the person that Paul had entrusted the letter to carry to the church of Rome, that he had given her the letter to carry to the people in Rome, and it's believed it was coming from him. But he said, "I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and to give her any help that she may need from you." And Paul knew that she had some needs, and he was aware of that. And the Lord knows your needs as well, and he sees them, whatever they are, and whatever those concerns are in our life. And it's not insignificant to him. In Matthew chapter 9, verses 20 to 22, we see a story there about a woman who had an issue of blood, had a bleeding issue, and for 38 years, she spent all the money she had going to doctors to try to take care of this physical problem of bleeding that they couldn't help her with. And she was in a crowd one day, and Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter who was sick and dying, the synagogue's leader's daughter who was dying, and she was in the crowd, and she said, "If only I could just touch the hem of his garment. I wonder if he even notices me. I wonder if he even cares." And she reached out by faith to try to grab a hold of his garment, and Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And he stopped, and he knew, and he ministered to her, and he cared for her. He took time to care for her need. He saw her in the midst of the crowd, and she mattered to him. And you matter to Jesus, and whatever concerns and the burdens that press you down, when you're going through those hard times, you feel God's not answering, that he's distant. He's there. He knows. He hears. You matter. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16 says that we have a high priest who sympathizes with us and went through everything that we went through so that he understands us. And he said, there we can come to him and find mercy and grace in time of need. Because, friend, you matter to God. You're not just a face in the crowd. That woman wasn't just a face in the crowd. You're not just a number. He knows you by name. He has a personal love for you. And in spite of the mess you might be in now or may face, he wants to meet your every need and make your life beautiful. That's the God we have. Because if it matters to you, it matters to him. Because you matter to him. And that's the God we have. So the first thing we learn from this long list of names inspired by God is that no one is insignificant to the Lord. And aren't you thankful for that? You're not insignificant to him. He knows you. He sees you. He loves you. He cares for you. And the second truth, as we see as we move on, is that we are all one in the Lord. We're all one in the Lord. As we look at this long list of names, we're going to do a little inductive Bible study here for a moment. Everybody like to do inductive Bible study where we look at the Word of God and see what we can pull out of it? We're going to do a little inductive Bible study together. And do you see a key phrase that is used and repeated in this scripture, in this chapter, over and over again? Because when there's a key phrase that's over and over again used, that gives us a key to what God's trying to tell us. Anybody see a phrase that's being used over and over again? Almost every single verse has it. Greet, that's one. Greet, that's good. Greeting, that shows the greeting of the unity. But there's a phrase, three words. Anybody see in the Lord? In the Lord being used almost over and over again. Greet Amphilus, who I love in the Lord. Greet the household of Narcissus in the Lord. Greet Tryphesa and Tryphosa in the Lord. Work very hard in the Lord. You see that key phrase, being in the Lord, our unity that we have in the Lord, in Christ. And it was the Lord Jesus that brought this church together. And all these people were different. And they had various backgrounds. But yet, they were united together as one church in Christ. And that's how it is with us, because we are one family. And in the Church of Rome, the Church of Rome was made up of ordinary people, but they were diverse. And if you look down over this list, you would see some were slaves, others were blue-collar workers, and still others were wealthy. And we see down in verse 23, Erastus was the city's director of public works. Cordius, next to him, that he was a slave, and that means number four. That's what his name means. So he wasn't even the first slave. He was the fourth slave in the list. So he was down pretty low. So you have all these different people of different backgrounds, but they were all united as one family in the Lord. And Galatians tells us, if we go there to the book of Galatians, just back a couple books, chapter 3, verse 26, Paul says that you all are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ, and there is neither Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And Ephesians chapter 2, just go back one more book. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, joined together, rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives in his Spirit. We are one family, united together in Christ. Join heirs with Jesus. He is our brother. God is our father. And we are joined together, one, the spatter, all our different backgrounds, all our different personalities, but he's made us one in him. We also are one body. And all these members of the church of Rome with all their different backgrounds were one family, one body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14 says, the body is made up of many parts, but yet all of it makes one body, one unit. And so it is with Christ, that you are a member of the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. Different roles, different giftings. We talked about that when we were in another part of Romans, that God gifted us all with different gifts and abilities and different backgrounds. But we all have a different part. We are one united together in the same body of Christ. And not only is that true locally here, but it's true around the world, as we saw a video earlier of the body of Christ on the other side of the world that we are a part of. The EC Church worldwide and God's church all around the world that are made up of the redeemed of the body of Christ. And we're connected jointly to him. One body, one family, and one Savior. One Lord, one Savior, one baptism. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. Says that we have one Lord, one Savior, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And we all been saved through Jesus Christ, who died for all of us and provided the way. And every member on this list, every member of the book of the Church of Corinth was saved through Jesus Christ. You and I share that common Savior who brought us all together, who died for all of us, shedding his blood to make us one in him. And we have one passion. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11, Paul shared what his passion was. Ephesians chapter 3, and these verses are well known. You've heard these before. But Paul sharing his passion, chapter 3, verse 10, says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Paul's passion was to know Jesus more deeply and more intimately. He said to the churches he wrote at, join me as I seek to follow Christ. He said, imitate me as I am seeking to imitate him. And his passion was to know Jesus more deeply. And as the Church of Christ, we should all share that passion to know and love Jesus more deeply, right? To have a deeper, fuller love for him. To know him better than we knew him before. Each and every day growing deeper. Sharing that common passion of a love for Christ. And we have one mission. Paul, as he goes down through this list, shared about his desire and the mission, not only for the Romans to come to know Christ, but others as well. And our mission that we share is found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. What we know is the Great Commission, where Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to obey everything that I have taught you. And the promise, lo, I am with you now, always, and to the very end of the earth. And our mission that we share is to know Christ, to make him known, so that others can come to know him too. We do it on a global scale, but also Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, Jesus is saying that you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Let your light shine in such a way that people can see Jesus in you and in me. And your challenge this week as you leave from here is to go into God's mission field, the world out there, and to let Jesus' light be seen in you. And let Jesus be seen in you so that through your good deeds, people can give praise to our Father in heaven. And that's the mission we all share, to let our light shine, to love Christ, to make him known. And we're all joined together. And all those in the Church of Romans on that list shared that vision. So you matter to the Master. You are not insignificant to him. He knows your name. He sees your faithfulness. He knows your need. He rewards your service. And you matter to the Master because he made you one in him and has joined you to himself and to his family around the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you call us by name and you know our name. We are not insignificant to you. We matter to you. And you love everyone here and everyone in the world, but even if no one else existed, you would have died just for each person in this room. You'd have died for each one of them personally because you care about each one so much. You created us and formed us by your hand. And we are not insignificant. We have value because we belong to you and created by you and loved by you. So thank you, Lord, that you know our name, that you see our need, that you reward and see our faithfulness, and you reward someday when we stand before you to hear that greatest word of praise, well done, you have done well, my child. And Lord, that's what we're living our life for. And so thank you that you give significance and meaning to life. It's not in the things the world says. We may not ever be known by the world. Our names may not be up in lights, but they're known by you, and that's really all that matters. And that's where the significance comes. So thank you, Lord, for that and the truth of your word. And Lord, making us one in you, uniting us to yourself as one family, one body, with a passion together to know and to love you and to let you be seen and known around the world. So Lord, thank you for your word and all of it that is inspired by you and that is profitable for our life, that from it we can be taught and we can learn more about you and how you want us to live. So Lord, thank you for who you are, for your love and your grace in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.